person next to you say, you need to pay attention today. And you can turn to the back and say, as if you don't. Me too. Let's pray. It's always good to pray for the message so that maybe you'll get something from it and you don't waste your time. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you speak to all of us today about the truth. And as I kind of point the way, I pray that you would take the words that I speak and empower them by your Spirit to be a living word for each of us, and that we will all gain revelation today as we begin this series on truth and we begin 2017. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm beginning this series on truth, and to tell you the truth, I don't know how many messengers are in this series. This series really came to me. Part of this is I just need to tell you where it came from. This came to me as I sat at the back table at the Decatur Ladies Correctional Center Great Banquet this past October. I was sitting back there, and I got to thinking about the truth and how we lie to ourselves, how we deceive ourselves, especially when one of the speakers quoted one of these scriptures, and I would like for us to read it together, John 8, verses 31 and 32. Here we go. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now, when the speaker got it, whoever it was, quoted that scripture, my mind immediately took a right turn, and the words of Pontius Pilate just, kind of rolled up in my head, which is, what is truth? Read with me John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38, when Jesus was in front of Pontius Pilate. Here we go. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no crime in him." Yeah, what is truth? That's what Pilate said. You know, and my mind kind of goes in where that. So I was sitting at that back table, and then I extrapolated Jesus' words, and I thought to myself, you know, if you know the truth about yourself, and that will really set you free when it comes to living your personal life, because not all prisons have bars. And I was thinking about that. I said, we were sitting there, not all prisons have bars. There are many prisons that we live in this life. A lot of time we don't know the truth about our own life situations and our own ways of thinking. I realized that weekend, as I sat back there was a lot of things that I pondered that banquet was the 42nd prison team weekend that I had been on. That came down to 126 days in prison, or in other words, I'd done 6 months of hard time for Jesus' sake. That was kind of eye-opening. That was revelation. But I also thought about the times that I had been imprisoned, you know, because not all prisons have bars in them. Sometimes I've been in prison because of my own ways of thinking. Sometimes I've been imprisoned by circumstances that just kind of locked me into something that it was like jail. Sometimes by the carelessness or the bullying of other people. Times when I was a victim of life, and the words of Jesus echo, "If you know the truth will set you free." Now, that's not just about who Jesus is, by the way, because he is the truth, but it's also the truth about yourself, as well as your life as well. And it also hit me that how much of those people in prison were lying to themselves. Part of me just kind of wanted to stand up in that front of that group of women and get their attention and with some truth-revealing questions like, "How's it going in your life?" Is your life, way of life, working out for you? Do some things need to change in your life, ladies? But I also realize that things get messy in our lives. And sometimes things really get messy if you're going to tell somebody the truth. And I know that people need to make decisions about their spiritual life, how they live that out on a daily basis. Who's going to tell the people the truth? Who's going to do that? Because the truth is, nobody likes the truth-sayers. Nobody likes the truth-sayers in their lives. So there I sat, and all this kind of ran through my mind in just a couple of hours in that prison setting. So here I stand today, and the truth is, we are no better than those that I have done time with in prison. There's not much difference between the keeper and the kept. In fact, our prisons don't have bars, but they hold us prisoners nonetheless in so many ways. We're prisoners of our shallowness or our narrow-minded thinking, or maybe it's just our stubborn, obstinate thinking that keeps us in prison. We can be prisoners of our own circumstances, prisoners of our own self-deception. Boy, we can lie to ourselves. We can be prisoners who can't unlock the doors of our own prisons because, well, we just can't do it. And the words of Jesus ring out. If you know the truth will set you free. Now, part of that truth is knowing who Jesus is. But part of that truth is also knowing who you are. You know, if you know the truth about yourself, it will really set you free. But we don't want to know the truth, do we? We really don't. There is a foundational paradox about all of us here, every last one of us. And it doesn't matter if you are in a state prison or you're the CEO of General Motors or you're me standing up here or you sitting out there. We want to know the truth about ourselves, but we want very much not to know the truth about ourselves. We both seek and resist awareness about the reality of who we are. Now, there's a classic movie scene that expresses this paradox in us and in the world. It's in A Few Good Men. Some of you have probably seen it. It takes place in a court scene between Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, and I'd like to show it to you.
The code red.
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
And of course, this clip is about the murder of a Marine. But underneath that situation is the premise that there is more to being a soldier than meets the eye. And the truth is, a warrior is not a civilian. And the truth is laid out. And the paradox, though, is that is it present in that situation is also presented to us. Parts of us want to know the truth about ourselves, and part of us doesn't. We don't want to know the truth. And as I sat there in prison, I just thought about these women and where they had been in their lives up to this point. And then I looked around me at the team that was there with me, and I also pondered my own journey in life at that point. And I have this saying, you know, I take tours in people's lives, and I do. As pastor of a church, as pastor of people, I take tours in people's lives. And I pondered those women, and I wondered, what kind of lifestyle and environment did these women live in to end up in prison? And I wondered if they really would want to know the truth about themselves, really know the truth. Now, I have always thought that women are smarter than men. And all you girls say amen. At least in the fact that you guys sometimes will actually ask for directions. Yeah, that's the truth, by the way. I wondered what really got them into prison. And beyond the actual crime and the judgment of society, you know, that process, what's really underneath the symptoms here? And it's kind of like all of us. Nobody takes a vow of marriage and plans on ending up in divorce court. No dad welcomes children into this world and then plans on being so busy with meetings, job, or business, or leisure that he ends up just kind of being a distant stranger to the family. No woman picks up a glass of wine to take the edge off her boredom and plans on entering the life of a secret alcoholic. No person gets married with the idea of having an affair with someone down the road. No one embarks on a pathway of sickness because of their lifestyle, and yet it happens. No one picks up a cigarette or a drink with the intent of ruining their lives, but it happens. No one starts a business with the idea of killing themselves over the work that is required. No one graduates from school and decides to become so pressured and preoccupied and self-absorbed that they end up without a single friend in their lives. No one plans these things, but they happen every day. And dare I say it, and let me be a truth sayer to you here. Some of these things are happening right now in some of our lives sitting here today. How do I know? Because I take tours in people's lives. And I can see how things are going. As I said, no one plans these things, but they happen every day. Why? Well, we say we want to know the truth, but the truth is we don't want to know the truth. Most of the time, we choose to have no one in our lives whom we've invited to tell us the truth. Not only that, but if we do have a truth sayer around us, you know what we do? We try to shut them up or shut them out, or we try to kill them. We did that to Jesus. He said, if you know the truth will set you free. And he was a truth sayer, and they killed him. And they killed him because he spoke the truth. And we will kill him for the same reason, every one of us. Over my office hangs this little plaque. It says, lead with vision. But underneath is the proverb 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So every day when I walk into my office, I see that because it kind of sets me. Now, I don't always notice it or everything like that, but it is one of the things that I look to do in terms of leading people. If I have no vision of what God wants, then I'm not much good. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that's the King James Version. You have actually four different ones in your bulletin here. I'd like just to say that one together. That's the King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the one that is above that is the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. Let's read it. Where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint. And then I have two more versions, the NIV and the Living Bible, and let's just read those together. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is ignorance of God, the people run wild. Now, you can go out there and you can get other translations, by the way, and they say how this proverb, and each of them says it a little bit different, which is very confusing to me. It's as if someone, and shall I call him Satan? It's as if Satan is trying to get us off point with all these different versions. And I really do believe it is satanic, by the way. I think that is also one way that the devil confuses the truth. But that's beside the point today. But I want to see if we can ferret out the truth here in this proverb. And so I need to do a short word study with you so you can understand this a little bit better, because you got to go back to the Hebrew language. Anyway, there's two words in here that we're going to look at. One of them is the word vision. It's prophecy in the RSV. The second word is cast off restraint or perish. Run wild is a bit flamboyant. Anyway, the word vision in Hebrew here, it's not the vision that I have looking out at you or you looking at me, but it's the kind of vision that a prophet has. So it's prophetic vision. It's not just regular vision. A prophet leads the people in the way God wants them to go. But if there is no prophetic vision, the people lose their way. The second word, which is translated perish or cast off restraint or run wild, is actually the word for being naked. A person or group of people who are naked, they're uncovered. They have no protection. They have no authority over them. They have no solid order in their lives. And more importantly, they do not have God's order in living in their lives. They begin to live out their own truth about how life is. And then they can run wild, but they do away with any kind of order. They can end up in a death trap. Now, this proverb points us to the truth. If we're not guided by the prophetic vision of God, if we ignore the authority of God, if we do what we want to do, with no acknowledgement of God's order and his truth, it will get us killed and we will kill others. And if we have a nation that we're living in that's like that, look out. We the people. We need truth sayers around us. Someone to tell us the truth or bring us back to reality. We all, every one of us here, have weak spots and blind spots. And it will, because of that, we can't navigate on our own. If you are a parent, and I know I got a number of parents sitting here, if you are a parent and you are the one your kids need to look to tell them the truth about life, about their hearts and their souls, how life works, but if you as a parent have no vision, and that is the vision that God gives, or have cast off restraint yourself or run wild, how can you provide the kind of authority and order that will keep your kids from perishing or running wild or casting off restraint? I remember one time when my son Jason was 8 or 9 years old. He kept seeing shadows on his drapes where he would go to bed at night. And as far as he was concerned, it was a witch outside his window. And we tried all kinds of ways to convince him that it was just shadows of limbs from a tree flickering off a streetlight. And when the wind would blow, they would move around. And but we got nowhere with it. We could not convince him. Finally, I got hot. I was still rational, but I got hot. I knew that I had to be scarier than the nightmare in the shadows behind his drapes. So I laid into him. I mean, I laid into him verbally. I told him if he didn't get past this foolishness, because that's what it was, he is going to get a worse, lot worse treatment for me than any witch outside the window. I was convincing. He straightened up, and he dealt with his fears. The fear of parental authority overcame the fears of his imagination. That's what it amounted to. And that this little proverb kind of sticks in my head. My son would have died that night or cast off restraint, but I was willing to and able to put the fear of God into him and give him a vision of truth. Now, we need truth-sayers, folks, who will help us grow in our acceptance of reality. Whether it is the fear of a witch outside the window, which isn't really there, or the fear of a disease, or the fear of doing this or that, or, you know, people who have accidents, you know, they get the fear of driving, you know, and all that is the fear of driving. They don't want to deal with reality. A fear in some part of our lives that drives us nuts. We also need truth-sayers because they serve as anchors, because they hold us to where we need to be. They help hold us accountable to the commitments that we make and what's real. People need to make decisions about their spiritual life. William Paulson wrote, he said, "It is unlikely that we will deepen our relationship with God in a casual or haphazard way." But he's saying you can't build a life in God doing it in a casual or haphazard way. He is saying you got to be intentional. And there is a big difference between deciding and preferring. We need to make decisions. What are your commitments about prayer? What are your commitments about Scripture? What are your commitments about being in worship? What are your commitments about stewardship of time, talents, and treasure? What are your commitments to the body of Christ that you are connected or in relationship with? And if you're not in relationship with the body of Christ, why not? If you call yourself a Christian, why not? We all need to make decisions about what values we want to honor, what spiritual practices we need to engage in, what kind of friends and neighbors and sons and daughters and husbands and wives and parents we will be. But decisions are not enough. We need to go public with them. We need accountability. We also need someone who will ask us the right questions, such as, how's it going? Is your way of life working for you? Do some things in your life need to change? What are you struggling with in terms of sin or temptation? You know, we need people to keep us accountable. Sometimes we need to be the people who help keep others accountable. So for a few weeks, I'm going to be a truth sayer for those of you who want the truth. Now, I know this, truth can be very painful. I had an elder down in Kentucky. He said, you know, the truth won't hurt anybody. And I said, you're absolutely wrong. And if I told him the truth about his life, it'd have killed him. The truth is painful. But it could also be very eye-opening. It can set you free if you really want the truth. But it will be painful, and it will demand something from us. In the movie The Matrix, there's a scene in which Neo is offered the truth by Morpheus. And that truth is about the difference between reality and illusion. And I'd like to show you this clip.
Do I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice. Tumbling down the rabbit hole?
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neil?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So for the next few weeks, I'm going to explore the truth. And like Morpheus said just there, you have to see it for yourself. All I can do is point the way. Like the proverb says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people remain naked in prison. So today we begin. This is not flashy. This is not crowd-pleasing. This is not entertainment. I only offer the truth. And like Morpheus said, you can take the blue pill and you can go back to living your life and you can live and believe anything that you want to believe about yourself, about the world, about God. But if you take the red pill, I'll show you the depth of the truth. And then Morpheus said, remember, all I'm offering is the truth. And just like him, all I offer you is the truth for the next few weeks, nothing more. And I'll leave you with that, and we'll see if you take which pill. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help begin to show us the truth. And we do have to experience it for ourselves in many ways, and all we can do is point the way. But I ask that you would reveal the truth. that you would give us the revelation we need and take away ignorance that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.